Going to continue on tonight,
kind of what I had started this morning, and it was just a different kind of situation. I've had that happen before where God will just kind of lay something on my heart, want me to preach it, and appreciate everybody's prayers and everything like that. Michael was telling me it was raining out in the village that they were streaming the service to. And you got to understand, these people have got to stand outside and watch this. And but he said, still and yet, there was about 150 people standing out there in the rain. And that's about like what we had the first time we did this, and it was raining. And it was about the same amount of people standing out there. And I tell you, there are still hungry people out there in the world who want to hear about Jesus. Amen. They're still out there. We appreciate all the people that come out. I tell you, I'm blessed because from what I hear, we have pastors that are in that area that work with those people that are coming and bringing their people to watch the service there. And I appreciate those pastors being willing to do that. And you pray for those men. They are in need of some good Bible teaching themselves. And the sad part of it is a lot of Kenyan pastors have relied on what comes from America over there, and a lot of that stuff's not good, and we know that. And so some have fallen into the deceit that some American pastors have fallen into, and I hate that. I hate to see that because most of the men that I've met out there, the pastors, they're good men, they're good-hearted men, they love the Lord, and they're desirous of truth, and they want to do what's right. And so I have a heart for them, and I appreciate them and their willingness to come out and listen to the Mzungu. That's what they call me. They'll stream it out there in the villages, and they hear me on the radio, and they say, "Is that the Mzungu that's on the radio?" Yeah, that's the Mzungu. So anyway, I think it's a blessing for our church that God has given us that. Can I hear you say amen? I really do. I like it. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Psalm chapter 1. This is, actually, it's one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. And I've gone to it often, many times, just looking at it, reading again, looking at it, studying it, thinking about it, pondering it. And this morning, we were dealing with the book. This particular psalm has two parts to it. First three verses deal with those who delight in the law of the Lord, those who are blessed. And the last three verses deal with the ungodly. We're going to deal a little bit with the ungodly tonight, kind of show you some things from the Bible. I think it'll help you understand where God stands on those who do not follow Him, those who choose not to follow God in His ways. And it is a choice. And so the Bible's going to teach us about those things tonight. But before we do anything else, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And pray for one another tonight. Just pray for needs. Maybe God will lay somebody in your heart for you to pray for. I think that's good. Before we pray, I had a phone call today from, many of you remember, Kathy Fincher. She called me today and just wanted to tell everybody hi and hello. And I've got a note I got to hand in to, I think, Alicia takes care of all this. She's moving. She said, pray for me. She said, I quit my job. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. And she kind of told me some things that happened. And she said, I just feel a peace about it. But she said, I don't have a job. I was talking to my daughter. She invited me down to Edmond, Oklahoma. Said I could stay with her. She said, I'm packing up and moving to Edmond, Oklahoma. I'm going to stay with my daughter. Maybe God will give me a job right away. Maybe He won't. But I feel relieved from it. And she said, I asked her, I said, can I share this? She said, yeah. So I told her we would. Told her we'd pray for her. And she wanted me to tell you guys this. She said, thank you for streaming the service. She said, I still watch it. She said, this is my church. She said, no matter where I go, she's been in Oklahoma for years. And she met a man out there. They got married. And boy, I mean, they were just, she said he was a godly man, good man to her. Well, he ended up having heart problems and died. And so she's been through a lot since she's left here. But she said, I appreciate you still putting the sermons online, she said, because this is my church. And we feel the same way about her, and maybe God will bring her back one of these days. But anyway, she wanted us to pray for her tonight. So if you think about her, you pray for her. All right, Jody, did you have your hand up for some reason? You swatting flies. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, I love you. I do thank you for Jesus, my Savior, my Lord. And I thank you, dear God, for all the things that you have done for me. I thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given me. I thank you, God, Lord, for the work and the labor that you've given to us here in this church. And Lord, truly, your burden is easy and your yoke is light. And I thank you for that. Lord, you've just made the way for us to go. And Lord, you just ask us to follow you, and Lord, we'll follow you. Lord, we just thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the truths that it has in it. We thank you, Lord, for what it says. We ask, God, Lord, that you would open our minds and our hearts, dear God, to the teachings that are in this book. Help us, Lord, to not only, that it not only benefit us and be a blessing to us, but Lord God, that you would put us in a situation where we would share this with somebody. Lord, I pray, dear God, that maybe this week, God, you would bring somebody to somebody in our church, maybe to everybody in our church. But you'd bring somebody along the way that you want to hear. You want them to hear the truth. You want them to hear the gospel. You want them to hear something or have something from your word. And I pray, dear God, that you would bless those that are willing to give it. And Father, we know, God, we know that we live in a time where many, many are sinking. And they're sinking fast. And Father, we don't believe that we can save everybody. In fact, we know according to the word that we can't. But Lord, there is somebody out there that needs to be saved. They have a heart that's ready to be saved. They just don't have the seed sown. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you would just send somebody our way this week. We could sow a seed of kindness, as the song says, but sow the seed of the Word of God to them and be a blessing to them. And Lord, Father, they'll be saved. I just pray, God, that you would do that. Lord, show us from your Word, God, how you bless your people, that those that love you and trust you, and how, Lord, what happens to those who don't. And Lord, Father, let it serve as a reminder to us of why we serve you and why you love us. Lord, just bless and honor your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Psalm 1, let's read that again from verse 1 down to verse 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And can I have all of God's people who agree with that say amen? Amen. Let me just run through a couple more things very quickly tonight as it pertains to those who are blessed. In the first three verses, he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. He's telling you, blessed are the people who are of that way. And then he, again, the Bible is full of contrast. It'll say, this is this, but this is this. And it says that in verse 2. It shows you that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You say, well, you get out of that, preacher. Well, here's what I get out of it. Is that number one, those who are blessed, They walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, and they don't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful. See, over here is the ungodly. Over here is the sinners, and over here is the scornful. And I believe, and I know we have to live in this world, and I know we have to deal with lost people every day. In some cases, they are in our families, they are in our workplaces, they're in the places that we go shopping at. The lost people are all around us. And I do not believe in seclusion Christianity. I don't believe in that. I think we are in this world, but not of this world. Can I hear you say amen? I think if there was ever a time, as this world grows darker
It should be easier to spot the saints of light of Jesus Christ. Can I hear you say amen? Should be easier to spot them. Because they're the ones who have the light, and you never know, there just might be somebody who lives in this dark world that is looking for the light that God will shine through you. Amen? So I don't believe in seclusion Christianity, but I do believe in separated Christianity. And clearly, in the first two verses of this psalm, God separates the blessed from the sinners. He says, we're blessed if we don't be around the ungodly, we don't go the way of the sinners, and we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. He has clearly put them on one side and put us on the other. It is a mistake to dumb down a church and bring it down to a low level so that every sinner feels comfortable going there. I think it's a mistake. I think rather than us becoming like the world, we should be a beacon shining to the world that they would want to be like us if we are like Jesus. Does that make sense to everybody? And truly, that's where the blessing is. God tells us over and over in the Bible, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And this is what he's getting at in those first two verses right there. He is showing us that there is a clear separation between those who are blessed and those who are ungodly. So he tells us, don't go around the ungodly, don't go in the way of sinners, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But then he says this, he says, in his law, he doth meditate day and night, and his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now let me just kind of point to you what the law of the Lord is. You're holding it in your hand. Everything, and I know that theologically, or let's say doctrinally, if we're going to make a distinction between the Old Testament and New Testament, then the law would start in Genesis and go all the way to the book of Malachi. Then we deal with the New Covenant. But if you were to look at it from just a general perspective, the entire scriptures represent the law of the Lord. We have the law given by Moses. We have the law and the covenants given in the Old Testament. But Jesus came and gave us two new laws that were actually based on the old ones. What are they? What's the first law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. The second one, love your neighbor as yourself. These are the laws that we are under at this time. Does everybody understand that? So his delight is not just in reading the Ten Commandments, the book of Leviticus, or the book of Numbers, or Exodus, or anything like that. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, which I believe in this case covers the entire scriptures. What I'm trying to say is tonight that if you're really saved, you're truly saved, you're born again, God's put his spirit in you, then it is a delight for you to read the Bible and find something new that you never saw before. Has that ever happened to anybody? God deal with you. I appreciate what I can't think of her name now. Dee. Boy, it's a hard name to remember, isn't it? Sister Dee, she came in this morning just grinning from ear to ear. She couldn't even wait to tell me that testimony. And I said, Dee, that blessed me. I'm going to probably tell somebody that before too long. And I thought, man, she needs to tell everybody this. Here she is, Christmas Day. She's lost her husband. He's dead. And she thinks, I'm just going to have a rotten day on Christmas. That's what happens when we lose loved ones. And Christmas is a hard day. She gets up and she's dancing and she's singing and she's having a good time there. And she sits down with Jared that night and reading the scriptures. And that is exactly what God showed her in the Bible. And her delight, she delighted in that. It's making it real. Because I'm telling everybody, I think your life is in this book. And here she is. She reads it and she says, that's me right there. That's exactly what happened to me. And anybody who loves the Lord and says they're a Christian and doesn't read their Bible and hates to read their Bible and doesn't want anything to do with that, I'm glad I'm not their judge, but that's not the way Christianity really is supposed to be like. I think God's people love the book. I think God's people have the book in their mind. And I know it's not possible for us to focus on scriptures 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not possible for me to do it. But I think throughout your day, when you wake up in the morning, maybe God is on your mind. Something out of the Bible is on your heart. Maybe as you go throughout the day, as you're driving to work, instead of listening, what's this guy on the radio? Catfish? Is that his name?
Oh, cornbread. Cornbread. W-I-L. Instead of listening, that is his name, right? Cornbread? I get it right? Some of you are acting like, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, right.
Instead of listening to something like that, why don't you, I don't know, put in one of the Bible CDs that we have here, or just whatever, or just meditate on the Word of God as you're going to work. And as you're working, just think about the Word of God. Let me tell you what made America great back in the old days. His men would wake up early, 4:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. And before breakfast, they would go out and do a half a day's worth of chores. They'd come in and eat breakfast, and maybe sit down and read their Bible for a little bit. Then they'd go out and work in about another 10 hours out in the farm, out in the field. And you know what was going through their mind through that day? The Word of God. Word of God was going through their mind. They would meditate on those things. They would come back, and that's how they would lead this family. And it was the morals and the principles that were in the Word of God that made this nation great at one time. Do you believe that? Say amen. And I don't think maybe, I think maybe God's maybe not done with this nation, because there's still some people in this country who believe the Bible and who believe the Word of God. And I think that it should be our duty to get up in the morning. And I don't, listen, I'm not much of a morning person. My wife will tell you that. I don't get up at 5:30 in the morning and sit down and start reading my Bible. It takes me a little while to get into it. But get a little bit of the Word of God in you. Meditate on those things. Meditate as you're working. Meditate as you're going home. Meditate as you're sitting. I don't mean going, I mean think about the Word of God. Think about Bible verses. Asking God to give you light. To shine the light of His Word down in your soul. And it's a delight to you to do that. It's a blessing to you to do that. Especially when you read something and you've read it before, but all of a sudden there's something there that you never saw before that just reach out and gets you, and it just makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And all of a sudden you're just going, God, that is the coolest thing I've seen in a long time. God, thank you for showing me that in your Word. Isn't that a blessing? Somebody say amen. Lost people don't do that. Lost people don't give a hoot about what's in this book. They don't care. They have no ambition toward reading the Bible, hearing the Bible read, having verses of scriptures given to them either by conversation or by letter or what else. They have nothing in their heart that wants anything to do with the Word of God. And sadly to say, our churches are becoming filled with people who have no delight in the Word of God. Churches are ending up that way. Do you believe that? Say amen. Now watch this. In verse 3, here's what he said. He shall be like a tree. Now I want you to ponder this and think about it. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit when? In his season. Many years ago, Brother George, God helped me with something. He helped me with some issues in my life. Because I was really stumbling, I was really struggling. And I was thinking, I'm not cut out to be no preacher. I can tell you that. In fact, I'm not really cut out to be a good Christian. And I was just really, really hurting inside of my soul. And I was praying one day, and I just sort of had this idea that maybe there are seasons where I feel more like living for the Lord, serving the Lord, doing things for the Lord, and there are times when I don't. And I couldn't really go to the scripture with it. I wasn't sure. I heard a guy preach on it one time, but I decided I'd just study the Bible. And I was sitting out on deer season one year, and I was sitting up on a ledge, and I was overlooking this little river. And I'm watching this thing. God's start dealing with me. Mike, see that river? Yeah, I see it. Which way is it going? And I knew what he was getting at. It's going low. Water always runs downhill. And it's getting lower every inch it travels. Every mile it goes, it gets lower and lower and lower until it hits the bottom of the sea. And then what happens? The sun shines, the wind blows, it picks that water up out of the bottom of the sea and carries it up into the clouds. Now it's up here. Now it's high, and it's visible. It can be seen. And then what happens after that? God causes that water, that moisture, to come back down to the ground, And then it goes back into the rivers, and they go down to the lowest part of the sea, and then it starts all over again. You know, Solomon wrote about that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. He talked about the water cycle, and I'm not sure that mankind even had the smarts to even think about what that was, but it just occurred to him by the Holy Ghost, the rivers, all the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. How is that possible? How come the seas don't get bigger and bigger and encroach on the land? Because God takes that water right back up, takes it up here, and then brings it back down to the land where it needs it. And it just, it's a cycle. And it was that time God began to deal with me about my life and about how, and about my ministry. And let's say about my marriage or about raising children or about how things go historically. And I believe that everything that God created goes through a cycle. Let me just tell you this. There's going to be times, you listen to me, because maybe this will hit somebody here. Maybe it'll be a blessing to somebody online. But I want you to listen to this. Don't believe them when they tell you that you should be producing fruit and just popping out stuff all the time as a Bible-believing Christian, because it's not so. Number one, it's not possible. We're flesh and blood, and we have our highs and we have our lows. And everybody has them. Can I hear you say amen? Everybody does. There isn't a thing in nature that doesn't operate on cycles. God put us here in the Midwest. And I mean, when we have seasons, we have seasons. When we have winter, it gets cold. We get snow. We get ice. We get everything. When it gets summer, it gets hot. We can't stand it. We can't bear it. And in the springtime and the fall, we're just like, boy, I wish it was like this all the time. Amen? You know why that is? Springtime is always a time of rejuvenation. Things popping, things that were dead, pop back to life. Fall is always a time of harvest. It's when all the labor that we spent, we now see it come to pass, and we're blessed by that. Harvest time is a big, big thing. It's probably not so much now as it used to be back when our forefathers, when they farmed. That's what they looked forward to all year long was harvest time, because that determined whether they were going to make it or not. Amen? We've kind of lost that. But when he said, he shall be like a tree, all you have to do to see this thing for real is if you ever cut down a tree, what's the first thing we do, John? We've been doing this since we were kids. What do? Cut down a tree. We look at the rings. Count the rings. My daddy told me this. His daddy told him this. His daddy told him this. We look at the rings. What are we doing? We're finding out how old that tree is. Sometimes those trees are 20, 30, 40, 50, sometimes 100, 110, 120 years old. And we can tell that by the rings. And did you know this? You can also tell when the droughts were. You look at the rings. You know how you can tell? Some of the rings are real skinny. Some of the rings are wide. You know what that means? There was a lot of rain that year. There's a lot of water, and that tree did well. And then you see sometimes the rings real skinny. Every now and then you see a little blackness on the ring. You know what that was? There was a fire went through. You can just about tell the history of that tree by cutting it down. Look at the rings. And he said, he shall be like a tree. And let me tell you something. You're not going to be high on the hog every day of your Christian life. It's not going to happen that way. It hasn't happened that way for me. It hasn't been that way, at least in 27 years of marriage. We've had our highs and we've had our lows. And we're not done. We go in seasons. There are times we do well, times of just, not killing one another, not hitting one another, anything like that. It's just times it's that way. Seasons go in cycles. Day and night is a cycle. Women have cycles. Everything in this world has a cycle to it. And God made us the same way. And I want to tell you something. We just sang, what song do we say about sowing seeds? What was that? We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You only bring in the sheaves one time a year. There's only one harvest time where we live. That's it. One harvest time. All your work and all your labor was put into that one harvest time. And it just seems like sometimes we try to live for God. Doesn't seem like anything's happening. Doesn't seem like anything's working. Doesn't seem like anything's being productive. Doesn't seem like it's worth anything. And then God brings around a harvest time. And God gives you the blessings and the benefits of the things that you went through. And you sit and say, God, thank you for doing that. It was worth it. Can I hear God's people say amen? Now I want you to look at this. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now I want you to look at the rest of it. His leaf also shall not wither. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of tree do you and I know of where the leaf never withers, not even in fall and winter? Huh? Evergreens? Cedars? Okay? They're in Missouri, you don't have to go far to find a cedar. They're everywhere. You leave a field fallow, you don't go out there and sow it. What's going to happen in 10 years? That field's going to be full of cedar sprouts. It's going to be everywhere. That's what happens. And those things stay green year around. Okay? You know what that tells me? God is still God in that person's life year round. Even though they have seasons, even though they have times when they're bearing fruit, times when it just seems like they're dormant, times it just seems like there's not a lot of good things going on, God's still the God of that tree. God is still the God of that person. And He promised that their leaf would never wither. Some people have a problem with this, and I don't. When we choose trees for Christmas trees, what kind do we choose? Evergreens. Cedars or pines. You know why? They're green all year long. They never change. They never turn. They never go bad. They're that way. That's our God. That's how consistent He is. Can I hear you say amen? Listen, I don't know if you're getting blessed by me preaching this, but I'm liking preaching it. His leaf also shall not wither. And watch this. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, if I was some word faith guy, I would be all over this verse. And I think some people are afraid to preach this because they don't want to be associated with Kenneth Copeland and Oral Roberts and all that mess, or Joyce Myers or anything like that. I am not of that ideology. I am not of that doctrine. But I will tell you, if this Bible's not right, I'll close it and I'll walk out of here. You find somebody else that'll be fool enough to believe it. But I'm telling you, this Bible is right. And just because you've had to go through things in life and it didn't seem like it was working, didn't seem like God was doing anything, didn't seem like God was real, I've been there. I've been there and I've taken my complaint to God. God, you said that I should prosper. God, you said you would bless what I do. And I don't see it yet. God said, Mike, it's not time. It's not time. God promises that in due season, He will bring in the blessings. That is this Bible. That's not some charismatic nonsense. That's what this book says. That's why I'm still living for the Lord to this day. Because God doesn't break His promises. And I found that out to be true. Amen? Now watch this. Now we're going to switch over a little bit. He said, the ungodly are not so. Very quickly, I want you to go back over to Psalm 32. Just very quickly. I mentioned this kind of at the tail end this morning, and it was just kind of an afterthought. I thought I had it in my mind that I was going to address it, and I really didn't. But in Psalm 32, he talks about blessing and those who are blessed. And we covered this morning. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned in the drought of summer. Selah, think about that. That's what I was trying to get at this morning. Is when you sin, when you turn your back on God a little bit, and you kind of walk away, and you kind of get out in a little transgression, a little iniquity, a little bit of your flesh nonsense that you get into every now and then, God's hand's going to be heavy on you. He's going to bear down on you. He's going to push you down. All the words with the word press in it. Depressed, oppressed. That's what God's doing. He is pushing down on you. He's bearing down on you. He is making burdens on you that you cannot carry anymore. And you finally say, I can't take it anymore. God, take this off of me. And God said, I've been waiting for you to say that. And God pulls that off. That's what He does. And so he says, verse 5, he said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid.
I did something that I don't really like to do. I've learned from this. I got involved in a little Facebook conversation. I've learned that that's almost like wasting time. There are some people out there that you just can't redeem. And I made a comment. I'm standing there Thursday morning, Christmas Day, just thanking God for who He was. We stopped at the station to get a soda pop, and here's a guy. He's got a big old fat case of Budweiser beer sitting up there. And boy, that just went all over me, Jody. I'm going, yeah, that's the way to celebrate Christ's birthday. That's the way to celebrate Jesus. Get you a case of Bud and have yourself a little drunk party with your buddy. Boy, it just kind of made me an Ebenezer Scrooge is what it did. So I tweeted that, and it goes on Facebook. Well, everybody starts commenting. And a guy got on there, and if he's listening, I want you to know I love you, and I care about your soul. But he got on there, and of course, the first thing they do is they start accusing you of judging everybody. You're not supposed to. That's two words out of the whole Bible that most lost people know by heart, and that is, judge not. They don't give a flip about the rest of the Bible, but they got that one down. Judge not. And by the way, the only people who tell you not to judge are the people that should be judged. Because why? Because they're doing something wrong. They don't want you to say a word about it. So this guy goes off about me judging everybody. And then he comes out with it. He says, well, I'm sitting here drinking a beer right now, and the Holy Ghost isn't convicting me. And I wrote back, and I was nice about it, but I was firm. And I said, let me tell you something. You say the Holy Ghost is not convicting you, but there are scores of scriptures that convict what it is that you're doing and say it's wrong. So if you think the Holy Ghost is not convicting you, open that Bible up. I guarantee you, if He can't convict you with His Word, you're not convictable. You believe that? If God can't straighten you out with His Word, you can't be straightened out. And let me tell you why I brought this up. He said, when I acknowledge my sin unto thee and mine iniquity, have I not hid? Let me tell you something. If you did something wrong, tell God. Tell God. You know what this man was doing? He was justifying his deeds. And then he went after me. Well, you stuff your face with McDonald's. I didn't read that scripture. Amen. I didn't see that one, okay? But that's what he did. He justified his deeds and his actions, and he based it upon what he thought I was wrong in rather than what he was doing. And Paul said, when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. If I were to compare myself with other people, I'm sure I could probably elevate myself to a higher position than them, but it's not wise. Actually, if you want to compare your life to something, compare it to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's your comparison right there. You'll find out you're way offline. God said, I set a plumb line in the midst of my people. And guess what? Everybody else is wrong. And God is right. And here's what I want to say to you. If you're doing it and the Bible says it's wrong, you might as well tell God about it. God will forgive confessed sin. God will forgive it. And that's what He said. He said in His Word, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. That's the process right there. God forgives repented sin. People have asked me, Pastor Mike, you think God saves people and they never repent? I don't believe that. I believe salvation, when God, He says it right here in this passage. He covers the sin and He covers the iniquity, because He bears down on the sinner and He brings the sinner to repentance. That's what He does. So the best thing you've got going in your life, number one, tell God thank you that you don't have to confess them to me. Amen. I don't want to know them. But number two, think about this. If you did it and the Bible says it's wrong, don't justify it. Don't justify it. Don't say, well, I had a reason. Or, I just feel like there's nothing wrong with this. Don't do that. You're killing yourself is what you're doing. Tell God about it. Acknowledge your sin. Don't hide your iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That's what God does.
He's been doing it for thousands of years. He's good at it. Now watch this. Here's the point I wanted to make. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. So the Bible describes a godly person as a person who acknowledges their sin and God forgives them. Now they're godly. So when you look back at Psalm 1:4, it calls these people the ungodly. Do you know what makes them? Think about this. What is it that you do that's different than what a sinner does? If we sin, if a Christian sins and transgresses God's law, no matter how great or small, what difference is that between a lost man who transgresses God's law? God said in Romans, He said, God has concluded them all in unrighteousness. If you sin, it's the same thing as if somebody out here sins. Amen? No difference whatsoever. What's the difference? The ungodly don't repent. They don't confess. They hide. They justify. They say, well, in my book, it's not wrong. They do whatever they feel like doing and justify themselves. And when you justify yourself, God cannot then justify you. You don't think you did anything wrong. That's scary. But that's who the ungodly are. That's who the Bible says, that those that are ungodly. That's the difference right there. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Now you think about that. Think about the places in the Bible where you see someone who is fanning some kind of grain or something like that. You remember Boaz? You remember when Ruth went and found Boaz there at night? What was Boaz doing? He was in his garner. He was winnowing barley. You know what that is? That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in the end times. You remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus when he was, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He said he is going to come and he's going to thoroughly purge the floor of his garner. And he said when he does that, that's what they used to do. They'd toss that up in the air or they'd sift through it somehow, some way. And that was releasing the chaff, that outer shell, from the wheat or the barley or the corn or whatever it was. What would they do with the chaff? What did John the Baptist say was done with the chaff? Burn up with unquenchable fire. By the way, that's where this flesh is headed. Because the Bible says it's going to go back to the ground, it's going to turn back to the dust of the earth, and what's going to happen with the earth in the last days? It's going to burn up with a fervent heat. That's where this thing is appointed to. This flesh is the chaff of Mike Hoggard. God, you can have it. Whenever you're ready, blow. Amen. Blow it off. Fan it off. Get rid of it. Get it out of here. Sometimes, watch this now. You know how they did it? This is all biblical. One of the ways to get chaff off of the grain. You remember when Jesus and their disciples went through the field picking corn? And as they were walking, what were they doing with it? They were rubbing away the chaff from it so they could eat it. And of course, the guys accused them of working on the Sabbath. It's ridiculous. Amen. I put my hand in my mouth. That must be a sin. But that's what they were doing. You know what? That's a typology. That's a prophetic picture. Because one of these days, I think God is going to allow Satan to sift us as wheat. Go look that up. Make sure I'm right. I remember this verse. I think God allows people to be sifted. Think of a time in your life when you were going, I mean, through a hard, hard time. And God brought you out of it on the other side, and you were better off, way better off than you were before. Who can say that? Who can raise their hand and say, "That's God did that for me"? You know what God was doing? He was sifting. He was taking things off of your life. You want another example of that? the husbandman. God is the husbandman. You know what the husbandman is allowed to do to the vine? Purge off stuff that ain't fruitful. That's what God does in our lives, people. We don't like it. Sometimes we have to go through things we don't like. But that's God taking good care of us. Because let's be honest, there's still to this day a part of us that ain't so good. And God, take this off of me. God, get rid of this. Take this out of me. So that's how you know you're saved. You don't want to live in sin anymore. You don't want anything to do with it anymore. God, come down and sift some of this out of me. God, get this off of me. God, come down and cut that off of my life. That's what He does. See, the ungodly are not so. God is going to take them. They are nothing but chaff. That's what He says here. They are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Here's another example of this. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has his vision, and he sees this image, the head of gold, and the chest of silver, the legs of brass, and the feet of iron, and then the toes of part iron and part clay. It occurred to me one day that from the top down, the metal got stronger, but it became less expensive. Does that make any sense to you? And by the way, gold is nowhere near as easy to corrupt as iron is. What does it take for iron to be corrupted? Air? Oxygen? You know those little heat packs, those warm hands? You know what they're full of? Iron shavings, iron filings. And all you got to do is open the package up and let air come into those, and that iron reacts to the oxygen in the air, and it heats that up. It's burning. It's what it's doing. Okay, but here's the point I'm trying to make. That image of gold, God is going to destroy one of these days. You know how He's going to do it? His Son is the rock, the stone that is cut without hands. Man did not make Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock of our faith. He is the stone cut out without hands. He is the living stone, the lively stone. And He comes, and when He goes after the image, He doesn't go for the head. He doesn't hit it in the chest. He doesn't try to hit it in the legs and make it fall. He goes to the toes, which are 10 of them. You know what that represents? The law, the 10 commandments. Paul said, the strength of sin is what? The law. And so the stone cut without hands attacks and destroys the power of the law that is causing this image to stand. And it falls. And you know what happens to it? It grinds to powder. And that's what Jesus said. He said, if you fall on this stone, you'll be broken. That's a good thing. I was broken over my sin. Amen. I was broken over what I'd done to God. But He said, if this stone falls upon you, it'll grind you to powder. And you know what happens? It's gone. It's dissolved. It's over with. And you can never bring it back. And that's what happens to the ungodly. That's what's going to happen to people who are not saved and who will not confess their sins. Let me hear God's people say amen. See, I do that every now and then. Just make sure you're still in the ballgame. It helps me out, all right? Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand. He said, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. That's what the story I was telling about Brother John Uter. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. I'm telling you, see, right now, I want sinners to come into the congregation. Amen? Amen. I will never forget, old Preacher Golf was preaching one time, and he was pastoring down here, the middle area down, used to be called Flat River, now it's Park Hills. He's preaching down there, and that Martin Scorsese film came out about, The Last Temptation of Christ? You remember when that came out? And the churches got together, and they were protesting the coming out of this movie, because it depicted a scene where Jesus had the hots for Mary Magdalene. And it was wicked is what it was. And churches were rising up. And Pastor Goff was down there, and him, I mean, I know him, the man, he just don't take it sitting down. And he got some preachers on his side, and they sent word to the theater down there, if you show this movie, we're going to boycott you. We're going to stand out front. And then he got threats. He got threats from some wicked people down there. I don't remember who it was. And they said, if you boycott this movie, if you do this, we promise you, we're going to find every drunk, every harlot, every sodomite we can find in this area, and we're going to put them in your church Sunday morning. He said, hallelujah, praise God. I've been waiting on that for years. Amen. Right now, we want lost sinners to come to the house of God. Amen. So they can hear the gospel. But one of these days, God's going to separate them out. Now, you think about this. You think about, number one, think about yourself. Make sure you're on God's side. Not that God's on your side. You think, you make sure you're on God's side. But number two, you think about people that you know, that you love, that you care about, that one of these days, God's going to shut the door and you will never be able to reach them ever again. And God is going to shut the door. He did on the ark, didn't he? Jesus said in the book of Revelation, I am he that shutteth and no man openeth. And I think God's going to shut the door on people you know. I don't think he's done it yet. I think there's still time to try to plant a seed in their life. Ask God how to do it. He'll show you how to do it. Do you believe that? Does it make you nervous to maybe try to talk to people about Jesus? To be honest with you, it does me. It is in my nature. I kind of back away from people when I'm just talking to them one-on-one. But I've had more than one situation where God brought them to me. They started it. And it was just as easy as eating ice cream to go right in and say, let me tell you what the Bible says about that. Pray that God will do that for you this week. Because the ungodly people that you know, if they're not reached, they're not going to make it. God's not going to let them in the congregation of the righteous. You go read Book Revelation. There's a sign out in the doorway of heaven that says, no whoremongers, no liars allowed in. And there's a whole list of other things that God's not going to allow in heaven. And if that's people you know, they're not going. Whether they accept the gospel or not is between them and God. But I've had situations in life where I could have said something and didn't. And they died. And I don't know how God's going to deal with that with me. He's already dealt with me here. I got to stand before Him in judgment. The ungodly should not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. There's one place I want you to turn to, and then we're going to be done. I want you to turn to the book of Romans. Two verses here, and then we're going to get out. Romans chapter 4, turn there. Romans chapter 4, and then the next one is in Romans chapter 5. They're just right together. I want you to look at Romans chapter 4, and I want you to look at verse 5 and read that to yourself. Find the word ungodly and find out what God says about it. Now, look at Romans chapter 5, look at verse 6. Find the word ungodly in that verse and what God says about it. Romans 5, 6. Two things here. Christ died for the ungodly. And Christ justifies the ungodly, which was us before we met Jesus. We were ungodly. We were unwilling to repent. We wanted our way. We wanted to sample this sin and then sample this sin over here. We wanted to live this way. We wanted to fill our life with the desires and the lust of this world. We wanted to do our own thing. We were as ungodly as anybody ever was on the face of the earth. That was us. And Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. The worst thing, and you can tell people this, because I've had people say, I'll get my life straightened out, and then when I do, I'll start coming to church because I don't want to be a hypocrite. Don't let them say that. Get back to them and say, listen, when God got a hold of me, my life was not straightened out because I realized I couldn't do it. Raise your hand. That's you. Amen. That was you. And just tell them, don't wait on that. I didn't. I let God do things for me that I could not do. I promise you, they're going to think about that. And you just give them this just little bit of verse. Let me give you a little piece of the Bible. Christ died for the ungodly. Who can remember that? Five words, isn't it? Five words. Christ died for the ungodly. How much seed does it take to sow into them? Mustard? Just a little bit. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ justified the ungodly so that when the ungodly stand before God, he sees absolutely no sin. Leave them with that and see what God does with them. How hard do you think that'll be? I'm just going to ask you, if God was willing to bring somebody your way this week to give them five words, how many of you think you could do it? If God brought them to you and they started the conversation, I think I could do it. Five words. Christ died for the ungodly. Okay? And then maybe the Holy Ghost might just pull verses out that you think you don't know. They're in there. Amen? They're in there. And I promise you, God will bless that. You'd be surprised at what God will do. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. I love you. I love this church. I love you people. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I really don't. I'm telling you things that God has to deal with me all the time. And I think it's good that way. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't think God gave you a pastor that's better than you. I don't think he did. I think he did with this church what he did with Israel in the Old Testament. The priest, before he could offer for the people, had to offer for himself. That was God's way of making it fair and even on everybody. And I'm only telling you things that, number one, I read in the scripture. Number two, I know that that's how it works because I've had to go through it and I'm still going through it. So the Lord bless you, and I love you, and I appreciate you, and I think God has done good things with this church in the last few years. And we're fixing to enter into a new year, and I think God's going to continue to do even greater things. So let's ask Him, okay? And then we'll see you Wednesday night, all right?